and get ready to roll. Let's do this. Okay, normally, in a normal fashion, I would be starting this off being like, what's up, y'all? You know what I'm saying? We're going to, you know, while we riding, we're going to talk about, you know, Doom Patrol or, you know, Arrow or something. You know what I'm saying? But I just got word that Jussie Smollett, the whole case has been dropped. It's like the joint just disappeared. Regardless how you feel about Jussie, and like if you watch the Sunday show that Marquita and I do live on Sunday mornings, you know, we've kind of pretty much, you know, touched on this case a few times. This is the weirdest case. And okay, because the charges are dropped, all charges are dropped, cases dropped, you know, it's all over, it's finished, it's, you know, like not even being dealt with anymore. But it seems weird, right? Like just a second ago, so it came out, dude was like, yo, I got attacked. Then people were like, yo, it's kind of funny about this attack. Then it's like the attack was fake, it was staged. Then, you know, the Chicago police came out and they were like, this is horrible. You know, you wasted people's lives. I mean, wasted people's time and stuff and, you know, good police work and, you know, all this stuff, and you should be ashamed of yourself, right? And we want an apology. Then all of a sudden, you know, they're like, we're going to go to court. And you see him showing up looking smooth and dapper. And now all of a sudden, in some kind of closed session, a judge just drops the charges, drops the case. I mean, dude pled not guilty. So maybe there's some information we ain't got. Maybe he really isn't guilty. Maybe he really didn't fit. Like, what in the world is going on? Like, this is one of the most interesting stories of someone faking something slash maybe not faking something slash, yo, this is weird. Then Michelle Obama is in the story as well. Like, I was like, what? Like, talking about, like, she had, you know, questions about the probe and how the FBI and the Chicago police was handling it. This is a weird story. I have no idea what in the world is going on with this joint. Sound off for me, man. Let me know what you think. I am, you know what? This is a good place to use the word flabbergasted. I am flabbergasted by this whole situation. Like, did he fake it? Did he do it? Like, what? I don't know. Or maybe it's a situation where he did do it and he's like, yo, lie till you die, son. Like, yo, lie till I die. But like, I really don't know, man. I am at a loss on this one, because I don't know what in the world is next. I mean, they said his slate is wiped clean. So it's like, it's almost like this, nothing happened. And all I can say is, whether he faked this or not, yo, being rich is dope, man. Like, yo, I want to be so rich that I can, like, start a whole hoopla, you know, on social media with cops and the FBI probe and the news going crazy. And then a judge just be like, it's all good. Yo, man, I really don't know nothing no more. Oh, Doom Patrol, I love your weirdness. We need to talk about that roach for a second. I really do love this roach. I don't know why. And see, I don't know enough about Doom Patrol troll lore. You know what I'm saying? And I know there's a whole bunch of people out here fronting, like they've been reading Doom Patrol all their life. No, they haven't. Anyway, bottom line is this roach, for whatever it's worth, is hilarious. Like every time, like one time he got stepped on. Then he talking to the rat, talk about, you know, humans make cheese and stuff. Yo, I truly enjoy the roach and his rantings and ravings of the coming apocalypse. Like, the roach, yo, he aight with me. I will say, in the recent episodes, I really like how we honed in on the trials that Jane has gone through, how having schizophrenia, or I guess some sort of, and I hope I'm using the right word, I believe schizophrenia, but how having that has affected her life, how it's done more than just make her this powerful person that, you know, has like many different, you know, abilities, but how she's been persecuted, how she's been, you know, beat down and, you know, kind of like subjugated through either mental institutions or people, you know, because she got the race thing, she has the mental thing, she, you know, has the woman thing. There's a lot that she's gone through, and seeing her, you know, just a little bit of her backstory helps contextualize the kind of person she is and the hurt and pain she's gone through, and the hurt and pain that her multiple personalities have gone through. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not just like Jane's gone through something and everybody else is a happy person. You know, like Jane, Baby Doll, like all of them have their own issues, but they all stem from this like joint trauma of how she's been treated by having a different mental state than everyone else, and being, you know, brutalized basically, which I, you know, it's sad to see that she had to go through this, but it's good that, you know, Niles kind of saved her and took her out of that situation, was like, look, you're never going to have to wear shackles again. And Niles, for all his, because Niles is not the cleanest dude, because we're going to talk about Niles in a second, but, you know, it's he's in that weird space where he's been really good and he's also done some dirty stuff. But I like where they're putting Jane's character. Also, big shout to how they do Jane's makeup and hair, because there are many cases where she looks like a completely different person, even though, you know, of course, it's the same woman. But, you know, she looks like a completely different person. And it's just, it, you know, a real testament to how hard they work on trying to make the hair look this way or make the makeup look this way, you know, make her look older, look younger, to help kind of push, you know, I guess the psyche and the visual identity of each, you know, different identity inside her mind. And I think it's just dope. And of course, the powers related to him is super sweet. Like when she showed up, when they went to the, I guess, back in time, and, you know, she had her little dust up with the teachers at the Doom Patrol Institute, and we'll get into that. I'm just calling it the Doom Patrol Institute, DPI. Don't come at me on that. But it was nice to see kind of like the Logan type of attitude, like the Wolverine type attitude about her. I thought that was real cool. Another thing that was cool in the last two episodes is seeing, you know, Silas and, you know, see Vic kind of, you know, mend their relationship just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, they coming together a little something. And it's nice. I like that. I like seeing them kind of, you know, for better or for worse, mend their relationship, kind of, to a certain degree, come to grips with each other, come to terms, and start to mend those fences. And, you know, Silas be a better father, Vic be a better son, and them understand what they need at this point in their life, and that, no, that, you know, Victor is more than just some kind of like, you know, science project, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I thought that was cool too. Another thing that this excels in is just Alan Tudyk's acting. I think the role is Mr. Nobody does a great job of allowing him to overact in a way where it's expected, like overact in a way where it's warranted. And the wilder and the crazier this series is, the better for it, because in a way the wildness and craziness of this series allows us to get very personal. Like Metal Man, you know, you got, you know, him, his daughter trying to like see what she looks like on the, you know, on the Facebook and everything, and just, you know, the hurt that he's going through and finding a surrogate daughter in Jane. But let me know what you think on this one. Yo. Finding out that she's calling, Bob, her dad? Yo, you gotta wonder, son. You gotta wonder. I think Bob was her dad for real in the first place all the time. I mean, look at it. All right, check this. Think about this, right? All right, check. Think about this. If, say this is a case where a kid's parents had passed. Both parents died, right? All right, so both parents are dead. If both parents are dead, the state or the, you know, the judge or whatever is gonna look for all family members. Why would they just give it to the boyfriend that's smashing off the wife on the side? Yo, that don't happen in real life. The only way he could get custody of her is if he was the real father. Like, the state is gonna look for like aunties, grandmas, uncles, you know, cousins, anything. But he got her, just the dude that was just sleeping with her on the side, he got her, he got custody, really? Nah, bruh. She was always his daughter in the first place. Yo, straight up. Wow. At least that's my theory. All right, my theory is he was always her dad. You know what I'm saying? Straight up. But on the flip, we didn't really get a lot of stuff with Niles, I guess you could say. But with Rita, we got a whole lot of backstory. Like, a whole lot. We got to see her life, you know, I guess trying to rebuild it as she, you know, had, like, bonded with the parasite. Also, we got to see her life with Mento and how they connected, a little bit of their relationship. And honestly, I liked it. I was like, oh, look at this. Look at y'all. Look, throwing a little flirtatious macaroni back and forth at each other. It was nice. It was nice to see that, and nice to see that there is still a way for her to completely control her transformations and her form, and that her relationship with Mento was like a large foundation for that. So I think we got, in these last two episodes, man, we got a lot from Doom Patrol, and we learned a lot about the cast in general, which is something that I really dig. You know, outside of, you know, seeing Crowley come through. Yes, his name is Crowley. Besides seeing Crowley, a.k.a. the John Constantine of the show, a.k.a. No, I was just playing. But it was good to use, you know, the the decreator and the recreator and the craziness around that as a basis to show us the lives and the families and the love and the hurt that these people have witnessed and have experienced, and how Niles being gone is affecting them on a personal and interpersonal level, man. Doom Patrol is a good show. The funny thing is, DC Universe, in theory, was something that I was like, man, ain't nobody gonna pay for that. But now that the shows are unfolding, I love Young Justice. I love Titans. I'm really, really starting to feel Doom Patrol a lot. They've got some solid stuff, man. In a very, seemingly a short amount of time, they've got some pretty solid shows. Would I say these are the best shows I've ever seen in my life? No. But are all these solid, worthy of your time? Yeah, they are. If you're into genre entertainment, you know, sci-fi, fantasy, stuff like that, yeah, these joints should definitely fit the bill and really entertain and give you something to talk about. I enjoy Doom Patrol. Never thought I would say that. But now that we got Doom Patrol repping and rocking and holding it down, I am so psyched for Swamp Thing. Now, Swamp Thing, I'm interested to see how they pull off the effects that we should see in this show, but maybe we won't need a lot of effects. Maybe if we deal with a very small personal relationship between him and, you know, in nature, maybe we won't need effects like that. Who knows? Who knows how they're gonna attack this story once we get like 2, 3, 4 episodes in, you know what I'm saying? Because Doom Patrol is something that I saw the trailers and I was just like, no, no. And now I'm down with it. It might be my second favorite DC show overall. So yeah, man, Doom Patrol, they still holding it down. And something that strangely I do not want to miss. All right, check it. Let me talk about your boy Oliver real quick. Oliver Queen in general is a guy that I can get behind. He's a dude that I'm like, I can support you, your choices, I'm cool with it, word up. And somehow, some way, he finds a way to be hypocritical or go back on his decisions all the time. All right, check it. Amiko, all right, we find out Amiko, she behind the back dealings with the Ninth Circle, right? All right, and the Ninth Circle is just bad. It's terrible. They trying to get sarin gas and, you know, plutonium and stuff, and people don't know what's going on. They trying to test things to kill people. All kinds of craziness, right? All right, word up. And Amiko is, hopefully, as we know, you know, Oliver Queen's sister. You know what I'm saying? Because Papa was a Rolling Stone. All right? Wherever he lay his hat, you know the story. Anyway, we know she dirty. We know she, like, right now, she may be redeemable, but she ain't trying to be redeemed. You know what I'm saying? And even Diggle came up to Oliver like, yo, check it. Remember when my brother came back seemingly from the dead? He was working with Damian Dark, and I gave that dude mad chances, son, mad chances. And what'd he do? He straight blew up stuff, beat me up, did all kinds of craziness, and put everybody in danger. My family in danger, the team in danger, the city in danger, your mama in danger, everybody in danger. Well, technically Oliver's mama was dead, but you know what I mean. Just everybody was in danger, all right? So after this, after learning these hard lessons, and also remember, the whole time Oliver was all up in John's face like, yo, you can't trust your brother. Just because it's your brother, you got to make sure, you got to be hard on him. You know what I'm saying? Because your brother going to put a wool over your eyes. Now, tables is turned. Now, all of a sudden, he like, you know, I'm going to redeem my family if I can redeem her. No, you can't. Look, what's done is done, son. I feel like we need to play the song, Don't Save Her. You know what I'm saying? Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved. Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved. Son, Amiko has made her decision, all right? She has decided who she gonna be, all right? And if you've decided who you gonna be, which is the Green Arrow, you need to take her down with extreme prejudice. Yo, do I wish she was a good guy? Yeah, I wish she was a good guy. Does Wild Dog wish she was a good guy? Of course he do, cause he trying to slip in them skins. But the bottom line is, yo, she is a bad guy. And matter of fact, she the leader of the Ninth Circle, B. How you gonna be the leader and gonna get redeemed, all right? Bottom line is, she ain't get redeemed. And she doing behind the back dealings, trying to mess with Black Canary. And you know I hate Laurel anyway. So look, bruh, just, yo, Oliver, this is a message from me to you. Look, don't save her, all right? Cause you trying to save her, and next thing you know, you gonna mess around and you gonna lose everything. You know, Felicity gonna be dead, you know what I'm saying? Dinah gonna be dead, everybody gonna be dead because you don't know how to act, all right? Look, don't save her, all right? She don't wanna be saved. She has made her decision. She bad, all right? There ain't nothing you can do. Now, she can change, but look, you can't change nobody. Like, Oliver, what is going on with you, man? You are usually a level-headed cat. You're killing me right now, man. Look, just, yo, you need to take five and just recollect, son. Recollect. Yeah, big ups, big ups, big ups to Sebastian Jones, Stranger Comics. Deadline broke that HBO will be working with Sebastian Jones to develop Asunda, which they'll bring out as a series. You know, Asunda is like the place where all the, well, not all the Stranger Comics, but a larger majority of Stranger Comics stuff happens, you know, like Dusu, Niobe, and it'll like kind of chronicle what goes on there, you know, battered, war-torn areas, where, you know, magic and swords and elves and all that stuff. And it's just dope because this is a come up for some folks, you know what I'm saying, that deserve a come up, you know what I'm saying? Sebastian Jones has been working hard, you know, kickstarting and you know, putting out art and stuff for a minute, you know, stuff with like, you know, dope colors, dope pages, you know, very just unique ways of presenting diverse cultures, diverse colors, diverse people, diverse points of view in a fantastical, mystical world. And now we're going to be able to see that in live action. I'm psyched. You know, there's no, of course, there's no date is being developed, but I'm just excited, man. This is dope. This is a super come up for Stranger Comics. It's a super come up for Niobe, for Dusu, for, what is it, Assese, I think. I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. But, you know, all of their stuff that they got going on has always looked like A-grade quality, straight pro level. And I'm just happy to see them shining, man, for real. I'm happy to see them shining. It's a good thing that they're, you know, taking it to the next level, man. You know, it's like, yo, look, you rep right, you know what I'm saying? You keep your head down, you keep busting your butt, and yo, you know, you gonna shine. Straight, like, I've seen Sebastian many occasions, you know, doing his thing, and it's just impressive to see his work ethic. And then hear this news come out, man. So I'm happy. This is just me saying, like, yo, I'm happy seeing somebody shine. Sebastian Jones works hard. He deserves this one. So it's a big win. But then it's also a big win for us because we get to see people like us on the screen. We get to see another take on fantasy on the screen. You know, of course, Asunda is, you know, inspired by, like, Tolkien type stuff. But it's still viewed through the lens of people that look like me, people that look like you and I. And it's cool. Very cool. Very, very timely. You know, great. Just before, you know, WonderCon. I'm so excited to hear this, man. I can't wait to see him, give him his props and pounds and all that good stuff. But yeah, if you don't know about Asunda, you can know about Asunda by checking out Stranger Comics. Just Google it. Google Niobe, which is N-I-O-B-E. You can Google Dusu, D-U-S-U. If you don't know, now you know. Niobe has been on my wall. If you watch The Daily Show, on the wall of comics, I have Niobe. She's always over, I believe, my left shoulder, so you can always check that. But yeah, I've been repping Niobe since, you know, I heard of it. So yeah, big shout out to Stranger Comics, doing huge things. Big shout out to them, and just so, so happy. All right. Let's go on and talk about your girl, Cardi B. All right, man. I'm gonna be fair in this conversation. I think you know, we always wanna get polarized, but we do need to sit back and see what's really real. Cardi B comes out, she's like, yo, she's admitting, she's like, yo, I had to, you know, drug people when they wanted to have sex with me so I could rob them and stuff like that. And she admits this on her own video to, you know, her peoples and all that, you know, all her viewers or followers. And, you know, of course, there's outlash, you know, and backlash and everything, talking about, like, yo, this is surviving Cardi B. Yo, look, this is just like R. Kelly or Bill Cosby. Let's be for real, guys. Robbing someone is not the same as raping someone. So I can't put her in the robbing bucket. Now, I can put her in the crime bucket. And we're gonna talk about this crime for a second. Now, I will admit that the mentality behind drugging someone to do whatever you want to do is probably very similar between her and Bill Cosby. But she wasn't raping them. She was robbing them. So we can't put her in the rape bucket. All right. So we can't front like she's been raping people. We got to put her in the robbery bucket now, or the crime bucket. Now, with crime, we got to look at crime as a whole. In hip hop culture, we have celebrated and revered crime for a very long time. We've been sitting around talking about crime like it's cool. Prodigy on the infamous stopped the whole album to talk about how gutter he was. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we have for the longest time celebrated crime and criminals on record because that's what made them real. Because for a long time, hip-hop culture, you were not real unless you purported a crime somewhere on somebody in some way. Now, with that said, we have to be fair. If we gonna jump on Cardi B, I'm cool. Let's jump on Cardi B. But let's also jump on everyone else that's on record, like, yo, I did this, I did that. And I'm not talking about, this is either through song or through interview, because there's some rappers who on interview have said, yeah, I did this, I sold that, or I stole that, or I broke this, or I killed that, blah, blah, blah. Or you have people on record that's like, I did this, I emptied a whole clip, and blah, blah, blah. So we have to jump on them in the same way. We can't be a two-minded hip-hop culture. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not against being like, yo, crime is whack, you shouldn't be doing that, Cardi B gotta go. Cool. But all I'm saying is, like, are we gonna celebrate crime or not? Because when men do this, yo, I gotta rob somebody, yo, stick up kids, son. It's all good. Now, of course, they were robbing people that were awake, but they were still robbing people. Oh, man. So I'm gonna sit that down for a second. So do I think she's the same as R. Kelly and Bill Cosby? No. Do I think the mentality behind drugging someone is very similar? So that part of the Venn diagram with Bill Cosby, I do believe she shares. But that's just a mentality part, not an actual practice or action part. And I think and this isn't to split hairs. This is to find the difference between what we're talking about when we go online and we go crazy. Because a lot of times things get lost in translation and we're like, oh, Cardi B, you know, this is Me Too. It's not really Me Too. This is a criminal situation, not a rape situation. Now, I will say this, when you drug somebody, you don't know what's gonna happen. Because say I'm Cardi B, right? I drug somebody and I take their money and I leave. Well, I don't know what else happens after that. What if other people know that I'm doing this? And they're like, yo, I don't like this dude. So after she drug him, after she leave, I'm gonna go in and kill him. Or I'm gonna go in and rape him. Or I'm gonna go in and slice him up and maim him or whatever. So that then makes you responsible for what happens to that person after you've taken their ability to stick up, to stand up, and to speak up for themselves. So you do have to deal with that. If that happened, because we have no idea. Because we know it's more than one, but we don't know how many. Now, at the same time, I'm also down with, if someone comes out, yeah, she needs to go to trial, they need to do whatever, and they need to, you know, she needs to face her crimes. But if she has to face her crimes, which I'm completely down with, we need to start standing up as a hip-hop culture and making these other people stand up to the stuff that they say and back up the stuff they say and stick up and face up to what they say. Whether it's Rick Ross talking about put the Molly in, didn't even know it, or Jay-Z talking about Hov did that, so you didn't have to go through that. No, Hov did that because Hov wanted to do that at the time. Hov needed money at the time, or he didn't have to do that. Yeah, he did that, so you had to go through that. Stop believing this lie. And I'm tired of this whole idea of, since I'm poor, I have to do something illegal to be able to get by. Now, I'm also not throwing out the whole part of desperation. I know when you're poor. I know when you're under the poverty line. Desperation comes into play and it makes you feel like you have no options. But there is always a choice. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's Jay-Z, Biggie Smalls, Big Pun, Tupac, whoever, you know what I'm saying? Bobby Shmurda, Kodak Black, Rick Ross, any of these cats that talk about all these crimes they did, they always had a choice to not do. They had a choice to not talk about it. They had a choice not to glorify. They had a choice not to rap about it. But they did. So, with that said, if Cardi B wants to come out and talk about it, I'm like, cool, let's jump on her. But let's figure out what hip-hop culture we're going to be. Are we going to be the hip-hop culture that doesn't like when a woman does crime, but when a man does crime, he's real? You know, he's hard. He's from the streets. Yo, man, he's from the street. He's for the people. You know what I'm saying? Or is it a situation where it's like, when a man does crime, it's like, yo, why are you doing it? You ain't had to do that. You know what I'm saying? You should be ashamed of yourself. we need to figure out what hip hop community we want to be. And I don't mind us sticking up and standing up for people in our community that's like trying to do the right thing. But more often than not, it seems like the negative element always finds a way to shine in the hip hop community. So as a culture, it's similar to what Mos Def said in his album. He was like, you know, people ask me where hip hop's going, and he was like, you know, well, hip hop is about the people. So hip hop will get better when the people get better. And it's like, well, what do we want hip hop to be? And then what do we want ourselves to be? Are we gonna be the people who hold certain people to task and not others? You know what I'm saying? Because I'm all about holding Cardi B to task. Cool. I'm down with that. Because I do think that the mentality behind premeditating drugging someone and then doing whatever you want to with them, whether it's raping them, robbing them, killing them, poisoning them, whatever, is a very insidious mindset. So I'm all for holding her to task. Yes. But we also need to hold Kodak Black to task. We need to hold Rick Ross to task. When I say I mean all of the hip-hop community. We can't be double-minded. It can't be like 20% of the hip-hop community being like, yo, man, yo, Rick Ross, you wrong. And then the other 80% like, yo, he real, son. He really real. You know, we got to figure out who we want to be as a hip-hop community. Now, with that said, I'm hoping, you know, we saw, you know, Cardi B come out, be like, yo, I'm sorry, blah, 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 you know, I'm different or whatever. Hopefully, she honestly is a different person now. Now, the question is she a different person because she's grown and she is in a different mental headspace and her character has changed? Or is she just different because she has money and she doesn't see any reason to rob anybody now? You know what I'm saying? Who knows? You know, only time will tell, only God knows, you know what I'm saying? But with that said, are we as a hip-hop community going to continue to be like, yo, crime is cool as long as a man is doing it? If a woman's doing it, I'm not sure if I like it like that. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm all down for getting rid of crime, but let's get rid of crime on all sides, or at least try to slow it down, y'all. Like, at least. So do I think that Cardi B is the same as R. Kelly, as Bill Cosby? Do I think we should be having surviving Cardi B hashtags? No. Do I think Cardi B should be held to task? Yes. Do I think that there's an insidious nature behind the mindset that her and Bill Cosby shared about drugging men or women to have their way with them, whatever that way is? Yes. But I can't put her in the rape bucket, y'all, because she won't rape them. Now, she did use the guise of sex to administer this drug. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, snap, I'm gonna have sex. Oh, let me drink a little, I don't know, wine or something. Soda? I don't know what she was putting the drug in, whatever it was. Like, oh, yeah, let me get in the mood. Let me drink a little vodka or something. I don't know what you drink before you have sex, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And then she was drugging him. But if she's not raping him, she's not raping him. But we have to get rid of this whole idea of criminal culture is cool. You know what I'm saying? You're not real if you rob somebody or if you don't rob somebody. What makes you real is how you treat people, how you react to them, the empathy you have for them, what you do for people. What you do for the people that can't do nothing for you. You know what I'm saying? That's what makes you real. Like, honestly, like, for take Meek Mill, for example. I've never really cared about his music one way or the other. But once he started standing up and talking about the prison industrial context, I was like, oh, okay, all right, now you got my ear. Prison industrial complex, that's something that matters to people beyond yourself. Okay, cool, now you got my ear. What you gonna do with it? You got my attention, now what you gonna do? That's something that matters to the people. You know what I'm saying? And we gotta, if we are a hip hop community and we want it to be better, we gotta figure out what we want it to be. And we can't be double-minded. Is Cardi wrong for that? Yes. Is she the same person? I hope not. But if someone comes out and wants to take her to court, she gotta deal with it, because that's something that she did. But I do want us to be fair and not put her in the bucket with R. Kelly and Bill Cosby. because R. Kelly literally had a mafia style criminal ring to traffic girls and to to straight up intimidate people that wanted their daughters back. Dude, that is not what Cardi B did. I can't give y'all that. You know what I'm saying? I can't give y'all that. I just can't. But we gotta figure out what we want hip hop to be, y'all. What do we want it to be? Because this all falls back to the people inside of hip hop. What are we gonna do to each artist? How are we gonna treat each artist? Are we gonna treat them the same? Are we gonna protect them because they're hot? Are we gonna crap on them because they're not? You know what I'm saying? We gotta figure out what we wanna do, who we wanna be. You know what I'm saying? So that's my take on that joint. Cardi B, is she R. Kelly? No. Is she Bill Cosby? No. Is it still a crime? Definitely yes. But if it's also still a crime, we gotta jump on her, and we also gotta jump on everybody else that we say is real because they're committing crime. So yeah, I'm about to pull up in this parking deck. So that's all we gonna say on that. Alright, back it up. Going back it up. Alright. Ah, boy. Good drive.